La 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 la.
The New York Times calls her a truly gifted performer, full of enchanting songs. And there's no doubt that Lucy Kaplansky is a rare vocal talent, blending country, folk, and pop styles. She makes every song sound fresh, whether singing her own sweet originals, covering country classics by June Carter Cash and Graham Parsons, or singing pop favorites by Lennon and McCartney and Nick Lowe. Currently on tour, Lucy Kaplansky will be appearing at Cafe Lena in Saratoga Springs tomorrow night, July 20th at 8 o'clock. Our own Alan Chartok recently caught up with Lucy to chat about her work.
Welcome, our old friend and somebody whose work I love, Lucy Kaplansky.
Thank you. So nice to talk to you.
Well, Lucy, you decided, okay, I have a degree, an advanced degree. I could be Dr. Kaplansky for the rest of my life, or I can do the folk music and do what I do. And you stayed with the folk music when a lot of people thought you were nuts to do it. But you are now quite a hero in our area. And when people talk about the major forces in contemporary folk music, you're it. How did you have the guts to stick to your guns?
You know, it's really a long story, but I always wanted to be a singer. From the time I was like, 9 or 10, and I was performing in my middle school and then in my high school. And then I moved to New York. I was in Chicago. I moved to New York, and I was really making pretty good inroads, really good inroads as a singer. And then I just was too neurotically conflicted to let myself do it. And I told myself I didn't want to do it, and I went back to school and eventually became a clinical psychologist. And then figured out finally with the help of a really good therapist, ironically, that I wanted to be a singer. So I didn't stick to my guns. I mean, I ran away for a really long time. When I realized that I was running away, I mean, once you see something, you can't deny that it's there anymore. And I finally was able to admit to myself, my God, I want to be a singer more than I want to be a psychologist. And once I saw that, there was no way to deny it anymore, and I had to pursue it. I mean, I was scared to death, but so I wouldn't characterize it as sticking to my guns at all. Once I decided to go back, then, you know, things actually started to go pretty well pretty fast, and if I hadn't had some success pretty fast, I probably would have quit, but I started to do well enough that I had to quit my psychology practice, and I've always since then been able to make a living and had an audience, so I guess if that counts as sticking to my guns, then I guess I did.
I think it does, but why quibble? Lucy, your father was a very important figure in your life, yes?
Absolutely. Well, he was an important figure in the math world. He was a renowned mathematician, but certainly he was my math teacher, really. But he was an incredibly important influence. He was a really talented piano player. And so much of my love of music, I think, was born from kind of his passion for music, and that there was always music going on in the house. He was listening to music all the time. His radio was on all the time when he was doing math and his study. And then he was playing music all the time. And I still remember so many of the songs that he taught me, you know, from the 30s and the 40s and Gilbert and Sullivan and Leonard Bernstein and all this stuff that I could still sing. So I don't know what I would have ended up doing if it hadn't been that my dad was such a passionate music person.
You cover others, but other people cover you. How does that feel when you hear your song being played by somebody else?
It's pretty amazing, actually. And most noteworthy examples were, I'm in a group with John Gorka and Eliza Gilkison and called Red Horse, and Eliza and John each did one of my songs. And I'll never forget, you know, they sent me the recordings. I just had to like chill after chill after chill. It was not, I've never experienced anything quite like that. Like hearing my song, but done differently and in many ways much better, I thought, than my version. It's just thrilling, thrilling, thrilling. Especially when you really love the way that person sings. Oh my God.
You also have done something else that is hard when you're on the road as much as you are. You have a family.
I do. I have a 10-year-old daughter.
Wow, I remember when she was born. That is something.
I know.
Yeah.
I can't believe how fast this is going. I have a husband, and actually we just celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary.
Whoa.
So we've really been together a long time. And, you know, it's been a challenge. I mean, I think things are a challenge for any working mother, that's for sure. And in some ways, I think I'm home more than a lot of working mothers because I'm home all week during the week. I'm the one she does homework with and, you know, picks her up from school. She's never had a nanny. I try to be away for very brief periods on the weekends. I try to be home on Sundays. So I'm making it work in the way that I think any working mother kind of struggles to make it work.
Sometimes your songs bring people to tears because they are so poignant and they are so insightful. You know, people like to be happy all the time, and sometimes you bring them to their inner stuff, which is not so happy. Do you ever think about that when you're writing these songs?
I don't really go there when I'm writing. If I did go to places like that when I was writing, I would never finish anything. I mean, there's stuff that's incredibly personal. There's stuff that's very pointedly about someone specific, although I usually change the identifying features so no one can figure out who it is.
I'll bet that someone has figured it out.
Every now and then someone figures it out, but I always deny, deny, deny.
Of course.
So I try not to stop and think about any of that stuff and just get it written and then worry about it later. I mean, I must say I've been shocked by how some of these songs, which are very, very, very personal and specific to my life, touch on universal themes, I guess, like a song about my grandmother in a nursing home, song for Molly. Like over the years, like people just come up to me in tears and say, you know, my mother had Alzheimer's or my grandmother had a stroke or whatever. And so I guess it does touch a dark sad place, but you know, I know that when I see a performer or hear music, at least some of the time, not all the time, because I want to also feel good, I want to be moved. And so I'm glad that these songs move people, and I don't apologize for it.
Lucy, how does the place that you play in affect you? So, I mean, for example, you're playing Cafe Lena. It's a rather small place, but it's incredibly prestigious. My wife actually waitress there and knew Lena quite well. But it is legendary, as is, of course, Arlo's Church, the church in Great Barrington. When you go to one of those historically important places, does it make a difference?
Yes, it very much makes a difference, sort of the quality of the place I'm playing. I mean, if I'm playing a place that people love and that matters historically and that people respect, I guess I feel better about myself and probably do a better show. I mean, I'm happy to say that fortunately there are few and far between places where I really feel like, not to be unkind, but kind of a dump.
Yeah, yeah.
It can be really depressing. So if you feel good walking in the place and it feels like you should be there and it matters that you're there.
When you said before you can now make a living, what are we to take away from that? A lot of money, middle-range money, or not so much money?
I would say middle, whatever the middle is. No, not a lot of money, for sure, but not a little money. I mean, I'm making a comfortable living. Is that a fair way to put it?
Sure, sure. What is it that somebody in the audience... I mean, I know that our wonderful friend Natalie Merchant has had occasional trouble with some of the people who follow her. I don't want to go deeper into it than that, but it could be awful. And I'm wondering, have you ever had that experience?
I've never had anybody who really scared me. You're talking like stalker people?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, no, I mean, people at my level very rarely have real serious stalkers, although I do know someone who had someone come after him with a butcher knife. I won't mention names. So I've had people who I stay away from and really try to, you know, keep a distance from, and I have somebody walk them in my car when they're around. But no, I've been very lucky. And generally speaking, my God, people in the folk music audience are lovely, lovely people, and I don't have any issues with them by and large. So I've been fortunate.
We're all sort of reeling, of course, with the death of Toshi Seeger, who was such an important part of Pete Seeger's life and an equal partner in so much of what he did. She was a social activist and a political activist when he met her as a teenager, and that was a different kind of folk music than we see today. I wonder if you'd like to riff on that for a minute.
You know, I think there absolutely are people who are doing that kind of folk music still. Like my friend Eliza Gilkison,
sure.
Her songs are often extremely pointed politically, and she's very far to the left. I mean, she makes me look conservative, and I'm a liberal. But I think it's less common, and I think, you know, for someone like me, I tend to stay away from politics in my musical career, and I'll tell you why, because people tell me they don't want to hear it from me. I did a concert in Cambridge, Mass, which is the, you know,
it's also it's referred to as the People's Republic of Cambridge.
There you go.
Yeah.
And I said something about, I don't even remember what it was, but it was something kind of defamatory about the Tea Party. I thought, if there's any place on earth I can get away with this,
sure,
it's here. And someone came up to me very nicely after the show and said, you know, I'm a Tea Party member. I don't want to hear it in your shows. Please don't do that. And
well,
I thought, you know
what? Isn't that tough noogies?
It could be, but I also feel like people are paying to hear me do my music.
Right.
And for me to betray that is, I think, self-indulgent sometimes. I think there are times when situations call for some kind of response from everybody, for sure. I mean, all kinds of musicians. But I think I've heard it enough from enough fans that I need to respect it. So that's not why my fans come to my shows. I think that's why fans come to other kinds of performer shows,
sure,
like Eliza's shows sometimes, I think, are more populated with politically active people. So, you know, I don't know if that's a cop-out, but that I feel like I need to be kind of fair to my audience.
If your child wants to be a folk singer, what are you going to say?
Well, I don't know if she's going to want to be a folk singer, but I can tell you I think she wants to be a drummer, and she's pretty good. And I know, I mean, her singing isn't her thing, but she's a really good drummer. Now, so it's sort of a similar question, because what if my daughter wants to be a musician? Talk to me in 10 years, and maybe I will have a different answer, but I feel like I want her to do whatever she wants and wherever her passion takes her. Just like my parents let me do this. They could have stopped me. They never tried, and I will always be grateful for that. So if she wants to do anything, including being a musician, it's okay with me.
Well, we have been talking to Lucy Kaplansky. The Chartocks are big fans, and I want you
to know
that we appreciate all that you've done for folk music and for all of us, and we're delighted that you're keeping at it and you're doing so well. We're out of time. We've been talking with singer-songwriter Lucy Kaplansky. You can find out more about her on the web at lucykaplansky.com. That's one word, lucykaplansky.com. She'll be performing on Saturday, July 20th at 8 p.m. at Cafe Lena in Saratoga Springs. For tickets, go to cafelena.org. Lucy, again, thanks so much for joining us. We always love having you on the radio.
I love talking to you, Alan. Thank you so much.
Singer-songwriter Lucy Kaplansky speaking with our Alan Chartock. You can find out more about her on the web at lucykaplansky.com. She'll be performing tomorrow night, July 20th at 8 o'clock at Cafe Lena in Saratoga Springs. For information, go to cafelena.org, cafelena.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
Innocent, I was born a queen. Woke to life, thought it was a dream. I was lying in the gutter when a hand unseen poured down the sun on New York City.